I'm Angie Fenton with Jeff Miller of VO2 Multisport, and this is Get Fit Louisville.
We were designed to run. Let us talk to you a little bit more about what you're trying to accomplish and how you can best get there. That's the thing. That's why VO2 is here.
Welcome to Get Fit Louisville. Whether it's biking, running, or swimming, Jeff and Angie can help you get the most out of each breath. Listen up, Louisville. It's time to get fit.
I'm Angie Fenton with Jeff Miller of VO2 Multisport, and this is Get Fit Louisville. Let's start, Jeff. I mean, what a week ahead, but let's start with our fitness calendar.
The fitness calendar this week, we have, honestly, we came off a pretty busy week last mm-hmm. week with the mini and the derby and all the different running events. So it kind of slowed down a little bit around the town because everything was kind of focused on the running side of things. But we've got this coming Sunday is a new event for the Derby Festival Marathon, the Tour de Loup. And it's a great event put on by the Derby Festival organizers. It'll be down the Waterfront Park. And basically it's options for riders that are out there. We focus so much on the running community, and I think for years we've kind of forgot the riding community. So this year they actually added an event. Nice. It'll leave off from down there. There's three different ride options. There's a 4-mile beginner, a 20-mile intermediate, and a 35 more advanced rider. I'll take you through all the local parks. They'll meet back up at the end of the ride at the meetup area. Basically, it's on the Great Lawn. A lot of your local retailers will be there, your bike shops and things of that nature. So if you don't have anything going on Sunday, it begins at 8:30. One of the rides starts out at 8:30, then it's like 10:30. So most people are going to be back probably by 12:30 to kind of kick the festivities off.
Okay, that sounds fantastic. And, I mean, honestly, that is a fantastic segue into this week's topic. Now, we're going to talk about proper bike fitting and how that impacts your overall riding experience. But for somebody who doesn't know barely anything, and I've told you that, the last time I was on a bike, I hit a car, a dog, and a tree. It was not successful. So I wasn't real worried about how my bike fit. I was worried about everybody else.
Right.
But if I ever get to that point, definitely for those who are tuning in, where do you even begin?
That's a great question. I think 10, 15 years ago, it was something that wasn't addressed a lot. And mm-hmm. there's a difference between, and let me just kind of say this because I think people need to hear this. If you're going by a bike, there's a difference between being sized to a bike and being fit to a bike. Being sized to a bike, just about anybody who sells bikes, they can look at you and kind of tell you roughly what size bike you need to be on. Adjust the saddle, put you on it, shove you out the door and say that you're sized to the bike. So don't get that mixed up with a certified bike fit. There's not a ton of certified fitters in the Louisville market. We have a couple on staff at our shop. There are some other local shops that have some bike fitters. And the difference would be what it boils down to is just your comfort on the bike and being fit to the bike is, we always say that you can come in and, riding a Volkswagen, we can send you out and it feels like a Cadillac. So that's our goal.
Okay.
So, so what you have to do and a couple of things that we do, with a bike fit is it's a lengthy process. It's about an hour to an hour and a half process mm-hmm. At the minimum. You're going to come to the shop or you're going to call, you're going to make an appointment. And this would be probably basically for any shop because it's a rarity that your bike fitter is just going to have, I can get you in right now and get you fit because it's usually pulling somebody off the floor that might be in the retail or might be working on a bike or something of that nature. Typically what we're going to do is you're going to make an appointment. You're going to come in. You're going to bring all of your stuff like you're going to go for a bike ride. But you're going to be back in the back on the trainer. With the bike fitter. We're going to hook you up. We can put lasers on you. We can look at your pedal cleat alignment, your knee alignment. So that's one of the aspects of it. We also look at hip angles, knee angles. We look at your position on the bike. So there's a lot that goes into that to help create that comfort level for you.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the advances in technology.
You know,
this isn't your grandpa's bike.
No, it's not. And that's what a lot of people, they don't realize. Like I said, if you've been buying bikes for years, whether it's a mountain bike or a cruiser bike or a road bike or a tri bike or a TT bike, whatever you want to call it, up until probably 10 years ago, it really wasn't focused on that much. And then Dan Enfield out of California really started to drive the market on bike fits. Andy Pruitt, another guy out of Boulder, Colorado, really helped drive the bike fit market to help people to understand the benefits of being fit. Now, there's other places around, and I'm sure I'll forget some of the sure. names of some of the pioneers in the bike fitting industry. But they really started to push the whole idea of proper bike fit. And, you know, we go through a regimen of asking a lot of questions. We look mm-hmm. at medical history. Have you had, you know, hip replacements, knee replacements, sure. Anything, you know, any surgeries that we need to know about? So that's why it takes so long, you know, because we have to go through that. It's almost like going to the physician and doing a pre-exam before we even start to bike fit. Because we need to get kind of that history. What kind of rider are you? Are you just I go out for a 5-mile ride around the subdivision, or are you a road racer, or are you a triathlete? You're on a TT bike, which is there's a lot more to a bike fit on a TT bike than just your standard road. And we'll talk a little bit about those, just some of the differences. But like I said, you know, that's what we're looking at whenever we're doing a bike fit. So if you go into a bike shop and they tell you they do bike fittings, make sure that, you know, that these are some of the questions that you ask, some of the things sure. that you're looking for, because we have a lot of people, unfortunately, that come in the shop, say that they were fit to the bike. And then when we start the process with them, they were like, well, this is not what they did at XYZ. Mm. And I'm like, well, they might've just did a bike sizing. And there's a difference between a glorified bike sizing and a true bike fit. You know, we started about, actually when we first opened the shop, I sent my previous manager off to be certified, and there was maybe only one other bike fitter in town at the time, Marcus Moran, who's been around for quite a while.
And so that's an actual certification process.
It's a certification process. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not something that you can just make up.
Right.
It's a certification process. And there's different fit schools that you can go to, mm-hmm. And they all have different things that they think might be better than the other. But what we've kind of found, because we have three different certifications there, is we've kind of blended them mm-hmm. To find what really works. We've taken little parts of each one and apply those in our bike fits right. now at the shop. And I think last year alone we did roughly 350 fits at the shop, right around mm-hmm. that number. So it's quite a few. It's growing in popularity. But kind of what we looked at after a couple years of doing it. I've started to look at bike fit as a service, and it's something that we provide for the end user of our product. And so we started to give them away with every bike fit or every bike purchase. So if you came into the shop and you bought a bike from mm-hmm. us, whether you spend $500 or you spend $5,000 on a bike, we're going to fit you to that bike. I'm going to put you with one of our fitters, and we're going to spend an hour to an hour and a half with you getting you dialed into that bike. You have to set yourself apart a little bit in this business, I think. And to me, what I have seen over time is people get a bike and they come in and they might have bought it at another place, and they either got the wrong size bike, maybe it was too big or maybe it was too small, and the person who sold it to them they might have bought it at Target or Dick's. I don't know. They just didn't know. And they got the wrong size bike. And then all of a sudden, they come to see us and we have to tell them that. And they're never very happy, to be honest with you.
Yeah, sure.
But we're honest about it. We have to be upfront with them, because sometimes you just can't make a bike fit somebody. If it's too big, you can't make it smaller necessarily. And if it's too small, you can't make it bigger. Mm-hmm. So we started doing that with every one of our purchases, partly because it allowed us to get them on the bike to see if the bike they were buying fit them correctly. But then also for them to leave on a product that they're extremely comfortable on, mm-hmm. Everybody has a pain threshold, of a financial pain threshold, whether it's, some $500 to one person is a drop in the bucket to another, you just never know where somebody is. So you don't want them to have a buyer's remorse and be frustrated.
Sure, definitely not.
You don't want it not to fit them. You don't want them to be uncomfortable, because if they're uncomfortable, chances are they won't be riding a month from now. It's just like a pair of running shoes. You buy an uncomfortable pair of running shoes.
Oh, yes.
And if you're a new runner or you're just starting, you're probably either going to go get another pair of running shoes, or you're going to stick them in the closet and be like, running's not for me. And it might just be the shoes. So it's the same thing for the bike. You get a bike. We do the bike fit, and it's a process. I'll kind of take you through the process. Somebody comes in, they purchase a bike, and we schedule a fit with them. We have them come back, to the shop. We put them on the trainer. We start to look at all their angles. Like I said, we start to look at hip and knee angles. We start to look at pedal cleat interface on the bike, where all that stuff lines up.
Right.
And then we start working on the cockpit of the bike, or, you know, we call it the cockpit, and most people would know what that is, but it's where your handlebars, your shift levers and everything okay. are on the bike. So the
right.
front end of the bike.
Sure.
We go through all your angles there. We, you know, help get your engine set, which is your caboose, mm-hmm. obviously, your mm-hmm. legs. So once we get, you know, kind of everything in position after about an hour and a half of going through that and going through the, I guess, the examination before we start doing all that, you know, we get you to a point where you're ready to ride. And, you know, if you're a new rider and you've never ridden, like, clip pedals before where you're locked into the pedals, mm-hmm. that's a good opportunity for you to learn why we have you right there. We work with you right there on the spot. We start teaching you how to clip in and out of the bike. So that's an important time for people as well. So they're comfortable being locked into that bike. Because
I gotta stop you there yeah. for a minute, because I just watched myself almost like take a deep breath. Like mm-hmm. when you see that, I mean, how easy is it to get unclipped?
You know, it's actually not that hard. There's tension. It depends on what type of pedals you get. So
okay.
you can adjust the tension on the
sure.
pedals, obviously. Some pedals are better than other pedals, mm-hmm. but it's like anything. You pay for it at the end
right.
of the day.
Sure, absolutely.
But we always encourage people to practice there with us.
Right.
We do get those people that are extremely nervous mm-hmm. For the first time to being clipped in. To be a more efficient cyclist, you actually do need to be clipped
right.
in to the
right.
to the pedals. But some people just can't get over that. And so we don't go through the process of terrorizing them, obviously. We encourage it, but we don't terrorize
good
them.
To hear,
it.
Good to hear.
So, you know, we will at that point, if you're going to do a fit where you just are standing on the pedals and you're not locked into them,
right.
the fit becomes more of a glorified sizing at that point to an
okay.
extent because
okay.
you never know what size shoes you're going to wear mm-hmm. when you're riding, so it changes your angles, changes your knee angles, and how much reach you have when you're
okay.
pedaling, your downstroke. So we start to, but we still go through the process of setting you up, you know, the best mm-hmm. we can with what we have to work with. And we always encourage you to come back when you're ready. We'll put the pedals on and we'll redo the fit. We'll do the adjustments. For us, it's an ongoing process. So after you get through the situation where we are the fit, we've got you dialed into the bike. We put you out in the bike parking lot. We let you ride around a little bit. We have you come back in, and we tell every person the same thing. As a fitter, and as many fits as we've done, if I were to sit here and tell you you're perfect and you're spot on, that's a lie. And
right.
no fitter should ever tell you that. We look at your angles and we take all that into consideration, but you get a fit and it's done statically because you're on a bike trainer.
Right.
We ride dynamically,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we move around a lot more mm-hmm. On the bike. So our promise to the people who, you know, invest money into us or people who buy bikes from us is once you've ridden for a little while, call us up, give us some feedback. Yeah, we might get it right and knock it out of the park the first time. And you call us up and say, this is the best I've ever felt on a bike. Or you might call us up and say, my neck's hurting or my right shoulder's hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind of things we need for feedback as
okay.
a fitter because that tells us what we need to adjust to help you feel better at the end of the day. That's our goal. Our goal with every bike purchase there is to give you a great product, something that's fun to ride,
mm-hmm.
something that you're going to do, something you're going to enjoy. If you buy a bike at another bike shop, we bring those people in all the time and do bike fits for them as well. So we stay pretty busy. We probably do 2 to 3 fits a day, 5 days a week,
wow.
This time of the year. And even through into the winter time, December and January, we pick up because a lot of triathletes are getting on their tri bikes, which is a much different ride than mm-hmm. your standard road bike. And they're a little bit lengthier process. But yeah, we stay pretty busy with it. And it's good. It's a really good thing. I think it's a great service for us that's exploded for us, actually. We have people coming in from all the way from Indianapolis and Cincinnati and Nashville and St. Louis. You know, we have a lot of people coming from out of town to get fits.
That's a true testament to what you're doing. But so you're saying, I mean, for the most part, is there a bike for every person?
Well, you know, here's typically to say there's one particular bike mm-hmm. for, you know, each person, that's most bike manufacturers have done the studies and they kind of understand the body geometry.
Right.
You know, most people, believe it or not, can ride two size bikes.
Okay.
you know, to an extent, you might be a little more stretched on another, a little, you know, maybe a little bunched up on one. But a lot of times people can ride two different size bikes because, you know, when you're dealing with bike sizing, depending on the company and how they size it, you might be dealing with a centimeter difference mm-hmm. or 2 centimeters mm-hmm. difference in a top tube length, which is not a massive amount. But to some people, that can be a lot. Other people, you know, I ride two different size bikes from the same company, just two different models. You know, I ride a 58 and one, a Specialized Tarmac. I ride a 56 and a half in a Roubaix. Just, it's made by Specialized, just two different, right. you know, types of bikes. So it's hard to say there's one particular bike. There are certain bikes that do fit people a little bit better. But for the most part, there's a lot of bikes out there that, you know, as long as it's within the parameters of what basically your inseam and your height, and your reach, we can pretty much dial it into you. So.
What would be your recommendation for anyone who's listening to us mm-hmm. who has already purchased that bike mm-hmm. and now that they're listening to all right. the things that probably didn't happen?
Right.
What's their first step?
I think the first step is get on the phone, call us. Okay. You know, pick up the phone, call us. If you're uncomfortable on your bike, and you might not even know you're uncomfortable, you might just think that's how it's supposed to be.
Right.
And hopefully, if you're out there riding with different people in different groups, probably within somebody, you know, someone out there has probably had a fit, and they sure. kind of understand.
Sure.
You know, so, you know, it, sometimes it might just be a regional adjustment. Maybe they come in, they're like, I feel pretty good, my knees bother me a little bit. And we might just take a look at, you know, your engine compartment, basically, you know, to kind of take a look at your angles and not have mm-hmm. to worry much about your cockpit. It just depends. So we try to a la carte it for people as well to try to help, you know, figure out what they need and what their needs are and what they're trying to accomplish. That's the biggest thing with doing a bike fit is knowing what they're trying to accomplish. I tell people when they leave the shop, at the end of the day, comfort's king. It doesn't really matter mm-hmm. what. It does not matter mm-hmm. what my angles tell me. It doesn't tell you know, regardless if it says this is the optimal angle for you, that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's comfort's king, and we want you to be comfortable. So for someone who's just you know got a bike, maybe all this didn't happen. I think you know get on the phone and give us a call. You know we're more than glad to get you fit into the schedule and get a fit going. There's other fitters in town. Some of the other shops do have fitters in town. So I don't know how busy they are. I know how busy we are, but right. But it's good, you know, and we enjoy it, and we enjoy, you know, watching people, you know, come back and give us feedback. And you, sometimes, you know, it's like anything, you have the fits that are perfect, then you have mm-hmm. the nightmare fits that just take a lot of time, effort, and energy that we've got to work with them a lot more. But that's just part of it. You know, that's part of it. We're trying to help them enjoy their product.
Well, you can contact Jeff and his staff at VO2 Multisport at 502-290-7433. Now, our last podcast, I think kept me laughing about your pick, but we'll go ahead and see what you brought this week for our product of the week.
Product spotlight.
Our product of the week this week is Infinite Nutrition. And
there's nothing funny about this one.
No, it's not funny like last time.
We're going to focus a little more seriously.
We don't have any buttonhole, chamois cream, right. or anything of that nature. We're going to talk just touch real quick on Infinite Nutrition. It's okay. a company based out of Cincinnati, Ohio. A really good company. They work basically anytime you're in any type of activity, let's say over an hour, you start into a state of decline. So whether you're running or cycling or things of that nature, you're burning more calories than you can take in and process. So what you're trying to do is slow down that state of decline so you don't okay. fall off the cliff or jump off the cliff like lemmings do, basically. Mm-hmm. Infinite Nutrition makes some great products. You actually can go to their website. You can design your own nutrition. I don't recommend you do that because usually you'll mess it up and it'll create fishbowl belly or you'll get sick and you won't feel good. But they have 3 off-the-shelf products that I really like. They've got their Infinite Go Far, which is basically designed for endurance athletes. It's got a little more protein in it, things of that okay. nature. They have their Infinite Speed that's got more of your glucose and simple sugars in there. Then they have their Jet Fuel, which is maybe for your hour and a half to 2 hour activity. It's got a little caffeine in it, gets you boost up and gets you going. But they make some great stuff. They're wonderful people up there. We carry it in the store. We've had a lot of luck with them. The taste is good. It's mild. It's not as sweet as Gatorade. It's got a lot of sodium and potassiums in it, so help control muscle cramps. So anytime you're doing any activity, especially since we're coming into the summer months, I would highly recommend doing something that has plenty of calories and all your sodiums and your potassiums and things of that nature to kind of keep you going. So
if you take these with you when you are doing whatever physical activity and mix with 20 to 24 ounces of water consumed before and during workouts and races, I mean, what's your preference? Do you mix them before you go and then just shake them up?
Or on location? They've got them to where you can carry them in like the back of your cycling jersey if you wanted to. Yep. So if you stopped and got like a water somewhere and you filled up your water bottle, you can just dump it in
there.
I always recommend pour the powder in, then put the water on top of it. Because you put the water in first and pour the powder on, it sets on top.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really go down. Right. So, you can mix them beforehand. Okay. If you're going out for, 2 or 3 hours and you only go through maybe a couple bottles, just mix them beforehand. But if you're out there for a long period of time, maybe running an ultra or doing, a long cycling event like 100 mile or something of that nature, you're going to need to take some of them with you. It's a good way to get calories in, but also get your hydration in as well. So, and obviously, like I said, the different off the shelves, the Speed, Go Far, and Jet Fuel kind of speak for themselves.
Sure, they
kind of tell you what you're doing. So, but that's that definitely would be my recommendation.
Okay, these are fantastic. Well, it's fitting that we were talking about, I mean, just how technology has improved and increased your ability to connect with your clients. I mean, just over something as quote unquote simple, which really isn't, as proper bike fitting. Whereas, I mean, decades ago it was, okay, is this one, are you tall enough, short enough, all of that. But now you're doing things like you said with lasers. So I think it's time for us to dish.
Let's dish.
Now, very recently during his visit to Japan, President Barack Obama, no, this is not a political thing, so just let that one go. But he was in Tokyo and he had a brief encounter with Honda's humanoid robot, ASIMO, and that stands for Advanced Step in Innovative Mobility. Well, and I might be saying ASIMO, he is so human-like that even President Obama said he's kind of scary.
Right.
But they played soccer for a second and had just impressive skills. And just if you get to watch the video on YouTube, it's pretty crazy. But it just begs the question, and this is what I'd love to get your feedback on, as we do continue to progress in terms of technology, where do you see us going? And also, even, over the last few weeks, we've talked about the newest trend in fitness and the newest this. But at the same time, if anybody sat there and watched any of the runners in our mini marathon and our marathon, there's some technology involved, certainly in shoes and training and all that. But you saw a lot of people who just said, I put one foot in front of the other.
Mm-hmm.
So where are we going? And what do you see people, how are they responding?
It's interesting. It's hard to say. I feel like we, as a society, everybody wants the miracle cure. They want to get fit in a pill. Are we ever going to really get away from that? I think we'll gravitate more towards it because I think the pendulum swung a long way to we just weren't fit. And now you kind of see that more fit lifestyle coming back into play. There's a lot of ways I think technology will help advance us to be, more fit in years to come. So I look forward to that. Like an example, Adidas has one of their new running shoes out that has a new foam in it. And I was up at Boston this past weekend. And I was kind of looking at some of the different stuff that's out there and just some of the differences in the way shoes are made now and the energy return systems within the shoe gives you the ability to run more comfortably and run further and run longer. And it's like anything, if it doesn't hurt as bad, you might go out and do it a little bit more, and it still gives you opportunity to burn some more calories and to get fit a little bit quicker. Same in the cycling arena. I mean, it is changing. I mean, every time I flip open the page of a book, I mean, at the end of the day, it's pedals and it's wheels and it's gears and it goes round and round and round and round, and you've got to do the work. However, there are some new technologies out there, the new e-bikes that are pedal assist. They've got large batteries in them. They're you can't even tell that they're an e-bike, and you can do, they'll go 42 miles an hour.
Oh my goodness.
So they're great commuter bikes. I think it's awesome. I think if we could get people in that, you know, getting rid of the cars and mm-hmm. riding. And the nice thing about an e-bike like that is you could go to work downtown in your suit and not be sweaty.
Right.
When you get there. And I think that's the biggest reason a lot mm-hmm. of commuters don't commute is, like, if you've got an office job, unless you've got a place to shower and a place to keep clothes, you're probably not going to commute. But if you can get down there and still put some effort in to working out a little bit, because you do have to pedal it and you do have to put a little effort in, I think you'll start to commute more. Now, the bikes are $6,000, but I can guarantee you'll save that in gas in a year if you just ride
them. And then some.
And then some. So. So the bikes aren't cheap, and they'll come down. It's like anything. I mean, you know, you see Tesla with his new car that he's taken over, you know, to, I think, Japan is, or China is where they're going to make it now. And the advances are just astronomical. And I look forward to seeing where they're going, but I still think at the end of the day, you got to put a little work in.
Yeah. So. Is that your preference?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, you know, I guess I just the way I was raised and grew up, I like hard work. I like sweat. You know, I mean, it makes you feel like you did something. But I think as we go forward, I think that's something that can't be lost. You know, I don't want that lost, mm-hmm. like on my children or generations to come, by any means. Because I think at the end of the day, you just feel better. Mm-hmm. Anytime you have to work hard for something, there's a big smile on the end of your face when you see your accomplishments. So I think that's my preference. Yes. A little hard work.
Absolutely. Mm. Last but not least, speaking of hard work, we've hit Derby season. So happy Derby.
Yeah. Happy Derby.
One tip that you have to somebody out there who knows that it's the marathon of excess.
Yes.
How do you come out on the other side? I mean, buyer's remorse, so to speak. How do you come out without that?
You know, I think, Derby's definitely a time of excess. And I think it's very easy for us to spend that, you know, entire week leading up to Derby, going to every Derby party, eating everything that we probably shouldn't eat, drinking everything we probably shouldn't drink. Honestly, I don't have a good answer for that. Probably because, you know, maybe spend, you know, hopefully you've been spending a lot of time just, you know, getting fit, and it's okay to, you know, let yourself go for a week.
It's vacation.
It's like a vacation for a lot of people because it's just in the air. The atmosphere is there. It's at work. It's everywhere. And you know what? Don't beat yourself up if you have an extra cookie or an extra beer or something of that nature. It's all good. It's, you know, you can start back over after Derby because, you know, the town kind of goes dead for a little while after Derby. So it's a good opportunity to get back out and get after it again.
I'm going to make that my ringtone. You heard it from the expert first. It's okay to start again after Derby.
That's so right.
Give yourself a break. Thanks for listening. I'm Angie Fenton with Jeff Miller of VO2 Multisport, which you can check out online at VO2-multisport.com. This has been Get Fit Louisville.